Welcome to the Daily Stoic Podcast, where each day we read a passage of ancient wisdom designed to help you in your everyday life. But on Fridays, we not only read this daily meditation, but I try to answer some questions from listeners and fellow Stoics who are trying to apply this philosophy, whatever it is they happen to do. Sometimes these are from talks. Sometimes these are people who come up to talk to me on the street. Sometimes these are written in or emailed from listeners. But I hope in answering their questions, I can answer your questions, give a little more guidance on this philosophy we're all trying to follow. I'm just about to go into the studio to record my latest audiobook. My wife and I have been listening to audiobooks. We've been listening to audiobooks in the car as a family just to keep our kids off screens because Audible is amazing. And Audible is also the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases and next-to-listen recommendations to satisfy every type of thriller listener. If you want breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that will enthrall you, even brand new and exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, well, then you want to check out Audible. My wife and I were just raving about this true crime audiobook that we read called Furious Hours. And then I've been raving about this book, Night of the Grizzlies, which I loved. Audio piques the imagination and it brings thrillers to life. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. Visit audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. That's audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
Err on this side. A politician can't decide what side to take on a hot, divisive political issue. They seek counsel from trusted mentors. They seek books to understand both sides as best they can. They read books about figures they admire who had to make tough choices. But in the end, they must decide to vote their conscience. I struggle to understand so much of it, and the science is conflicting, one politician said. When in doubt, however, I always try to err on the side of kindness, mercy, and compassion. That's what Utah Governor Spencer Cox said after he vetoed a ban on transgender students in youth sports. Now, perhaps you vehemently disagree with this decision, though it's worth reflecting on why something that affects so few people elicits such strong response. But we can all benefit from applying this general rule. Let's go back to a moment in ancient Rome that many Christians might know about. In 165 AD, a philosopher named Justin Martyr is arrested after a disturbance. Justin had dabbled in Stoic philosophy and then converted to Christianity, which was then a crime against the Roman state. Given a chance to repent by a judge, he declined, and so he was sentenced to a gruesome death by flogging. That judge was Rusticus, Marcus Aurelius's philosophy teacher, the one who introduced him to the writings of Epictetus, a slave. What the Romans knew and believed about religion was at that point conflicted and contradictory and difficult to understand. The concept of freedom of worship was foreign and strange to them. The law was clear and heavy. But still, Rusticus could have been merciful. He could have seen the gross mismatch between his enormous power and this single person who thought and lived differently. He could have been kind, as Seneca's brother Gaia was to St. Paul. He could have erred on the side of live and let live. Alas, he did not. He could not and would not bring himself to make the admittedly more difficult decision to be fairer and kinder, more just than was required by the letter of the law. And this tension between what is just and what is the law has always existed, but it is of particular relevance today with the bevy of laws related to personal liberty being passed in state legislatures and adjudicated in the highest courts. The solution to the puzzle, the sword that cuts this Gordian knot, is, as it has always been, to live and let live, a modern prescription, as we have said recently, that we would all do better at following for the benefit of everyone. Hey, this is Ryan Holiday. Welcome to another episode of Ask Daily Stoic. You send us questions about Stoicism. I answer to the best of my ability. I give you some of my personal advice, and then, of course, some advice from the Stoics. So our first question today is, according to Stoicism,
We must work on things that we can control and not on the result. But when one is trying to be ambitious and sets goals, most of the goals are result-oriented. How can I be ambitious and not worry about the results at the same time? This is a great question because it is kind of a paradox in Stoicism, but there's some really good advice for Marcus Aurelius on this. So he talks about how to tie your ambition to external results is to hand your sanity over to other people. He's like, this is a recipe for misery. What you want to do is focus your goals on things you control. So I can only really talk from experience here, but when I think about this as a writer, my goal is not to write a book that sells a certain amount of copies. My goal is not to hit the bestseller list or to win certain awards. My goal is to write the best possible book that I can. Obviously, I want to sell lots of copies. I want to reach lots of people. I'm not averse to receiving awards or recognition, but Ego is the Enemy came out. It should have debuted on the New York Times bestseller list, but it did not. Stillness is the Key came out and it debuted at number one. Am I calling one a success and the other failure, even though by the same objective criteria, they both deserve to be in similar places? No. I think Stillness is better, not because it hit number one, but because I know that I was better as a writer. I put in more work. I put in more energy. I didn't leave any stone unturned. That it was recognized, that it externally noticed, fantastic, but that's not why it was better. I'm focusing my goals always on the parts of it that I control. Think of a football player. If your goal is to win a Super Bowl, it's great, but what if somebody drops a pass in the end zone? Your goal should be to have the best season you can, to do as much as you can for the team, to think about it in that sense. So I think the Stoics try to make a decision. It's not that they're goal averse. This is also kind of an Eastern concept, but it's when we're thinking about goals, it's like, how do we make the goal primarily about things that we control, that things that are up to us, in to use Epictetus's term. So that's how I think about it in my own career. I want to get better. I always want to improve. I always want to be making progress, but I don't want that progress to be up to other people necessarily. I want that to be extra. I want that to be bonus. And actually, one of the things I'm proudest of, which is actually kind of part of my goal on Stillness is the Key, was to be more indifferent to the external results. So on my first book, which came out about 10 years ago, trust me, I'm lying. Let's say I was 10% convinced I did a great job and 90% looking to see how it debuted on the bestseller list. I think it debuted on the Wall Street Journal list. Now I would say by the time Stillness came out 10 years later or 9 books later, it was precisely flipped. I was 90% inwardly focused on what I controlled and 10% looking for that external validation. And I think that's a stronger position to be in, and that's a better way to live. All right, so somebody writes in, my sister has a bit of a depression. I've been trying to encourage her to learn and practice Stoicism. One day I introduced Memento Mori to her, asking her to stop paying attention to criticism and trivial matters. And she asked me, so if I'm going to die one day, why should I work at all? Why shouldn't I go and play and enjoy my life? She's not happy at work. And so how does Stoicism and Memento Mori answer this question? First off, I would say if you're talking to a depressed person who's not feeling great about themselves, letting them know they're going to die is maybe not the best pick-me-up. But I think what the Stoics would say is not, they might not actually disagree with your sister. You're telling her, look, life is finite. You don't get to do this forever. It's not, shouldn't I go and play and enjoy my life? You should absolutely enjoy your life, and you should realize that life is too short to be spent at a job, living away, living in a place that does not make you happy, that is not getting the best out of you. So I do think part of Memento Mori is designed to provoke the exact question that she's asking. I think it's not, oh, you're going to die, so let's go do heroin, let's have an orgy, as I've said before. It's, let's make sure I'm fully living this moment. And I think when I feel a little bit depressed, that's something I think about. I go, look, I'm not going to be here that much longer, so I'm not going to sit around feeling sorry for myself. I'm not going to whip myself. I'm going to get out and get moving and go do something. I'm going to try to make a positive step towards where I want to end up. That's what I control. That's up to me. That's what I want to do. So it's not that we think about death to stop paying attention to criticism, it's that we start paying attention to death so that criticism is put in perspective. So the frustrations with our job are put in perspective. The problems that we have are put in perspective. And what comes out of that perspective is a sense that life is short. The things that a lot of people think matter don't really matter. And we should home in on what we really do think matters to us and what really is important to us. So death is not what you want to talk to a depressed person about. That's a little glib and can be, maybe the exact wrong thought you want to be planting in their head. But memento mori for the rest of us, for people who are frustrated or unhappy, should help put some of our issues into contrast and help us make decisions that otherwise might be a little difficult. Someone is asking, what does the inner citadel look like and how is it created and cultivated and used? So the inner citadel is a concept that comes to us from Marcus Aurelius. It's this book. It's really good. It's by Pierre Hadot. It's called The Inner Citadel. Let me see if there's anything I can read here. So the inner citadel for the Stoics is the idea that even if you're thrown in prison, even if you lose everything, even if you're attacked and persecuted, even if what life is throwing at you seems overwhelming, what you have inside you is this sort of indomitable spirit, this fortitude. Remember, that's one of the big virtues in Stoicism, this sort of courage or fortitude. And we cultivate this, I think, in a variety of ways. We cultivate it by meditating on the philosophical principles of Stoicism. Marcus Aurelius is not just writing these things in meditation for fun. He's writing them to toughen himself up, to remind himself of what counts and what matters. The Stoics also cultivated that inner citadel by going out and doing difficult things. Marcus Aurelius is wrestling, he's boxing, he's hunting, he's doing physical activities. We might call them manly activities. But the point is, he's active. It's not just this sort of, mind or soul thing. It really is cultivated in doing what the Stoics call hard winter training. So this is why Seneca is jumping in and taking cold plunges. This is why he's, fasting or eating, rugged fare. He's toughening himself up for the world. So the inner citadel happens that way. And then I think the core defense of the inner citadel is probably that idea from Epictetus. Like, we don't control what happens. We control what we respond. What's up to us is our thoughts, our opinions, our emotions, the story we tell ourselves. So we realize, oh, they can do all these things to me. Epictetus says, you can bind up my leg, but but I will still go on like being philosophical. I will still, you can't bind up my will. And that actually happened to Epictetus. Like, he was a slave. His cruel slave owner broke his leg. Epictetus knew that people could do things to you physically, but no one can touch what's inside of you. No one can make you go against what you believe. No one can force you to change your opinion. No event is so bad that you have to say it is bad. Ultimately, we control that. So the inner citadel, to me, is kind of made up of those things. It's the training, it's the exercising, and then it's remembering that inside of you, things can't touch the soul, as the Stoics would say. You have this sort of thing inside you that's totally up to you, that even the worst situations in life can't touch. So thank you for listening to another episode of Ask Daily Stoic. Send in your questions to info@dailystoic.com. I like the more personal questions. If you want to talk to us about specific things you're struggling with, specific questions, passages you have, questions about inside Stoicism, if there's things you want us to talk about, shoot us a note. I want to talk to you about it. Thanks for watching. Talk soon. Hey, it's Ryan. Thank you for listening to the Daily Stoic podcast. I just wanted to say we so appreciate it. We love serving you. It's amazing to us that over 30 million people have downloaded these episodes in the couple years we've been doing it. It's an honor. Please spread the word, tell people about it. And this isn't to sell anything. I just wanted to say thank you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Guy Raz's How I Built This is a podcast where each week he talks to the founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you hear these entrepreneurs really go into their story. And Guy is an incredible interviewer. He doesn't just dance around the surface. He has real questions because he himself is an entrepreneur. He's built this huge show and this huge company. In a recent episode, they talked to the founder of Liquid Death, that crazy water company that's become this billion-dollar brand. Follow the show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. And for a deep dive in daily business content, listen to Wondery Destination for Business podcasts with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Okay, so if you had a time machine, how far in time would you need to go back to be a dominant basketball player of that era?
I need to go to when Bob Cousy was playing.
Back in the plumber days?
27-year-old Shea would give Bob Cousy the f***ing business. He's not guarding me.
Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano, and we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shay and I are combing through all of the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling ones, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Six Trophies ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus